chapter 21, and we're going to finish off the message I was preaching on this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, we're going to begin in verse 8, 2 Chronicles 21. Well, let's go back up to verse 6, actually. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 6, and I'll just kind of begin back a little bit from where we were at this morning as we were talking about the undesirable. That was the title of our message this morning, the undesirable, and what kind of life that this guy lived, Jehoram, that made him so undesirable. And as we take a look at that, we went over some truths this morning. We'll give you a few more tonight. And as we take a look at his life and what it consisted of and what it was all about, we can see that there was a lot of things that he had on the inside that a lot of people didn't know nothing about. Even his dad, you know, if his dad did know about these things, really we're not exactly sure if they really talked about it or spoke about it or anything like that. But when Jehoshaphat passed away, he gave the kingdom over to his son. And his son, of course, went a completely different direction than his dad did. And we're going to see here in just a little bit about how even the prophet Elijah intervened and come on the scene. And so what an account this was on how God's people were doing well, and all it took was really just one person to rise up and get them off in a completely different direction. And listen, that's all it takes. Amen. All it takes is just one person to be in the wrong place at the right time to completely steer things in a completely different direction. And that's what happened here. And so as we begin in verse 6 tonight, we're going to kind of go back over just a little bit about what we talked this morning. We began there in verse 1 this morning. We're going to begin verse 6 tonight. And as we go through these things, we'll go down to verse 20 and we'll pull out some more truths. I think it'll be a blessing to you as we talk about how undesirable that this man was, Jehoram. So we begin there in verse 6. The Bible says that he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now we talked about how he had, in essence, he had walked away from the way that his father had walked and how God's people were going in this direction. And then he completely, after his dad died, completely went off into another direction. And he started living like the devil. He started living like the world. And he started worshiping false gods and all this kind of stuff. And he, in essence, began to wed himself to it. He married into it, you know. And so he was, in essence, really just done. He was just saying, God, I am done with this kind of life. I'm done with this kind of living. I don't want no part to do with it. I'm going to divorce this kind of way. And I am now going to reach over here. And I am going to wed this kind of living. Now, we're going to become one. We're going to be united. I'm going to be united in living for the world and doing what I want to do. And God, I don't care about what you want. I don't care about what you desire. I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to do it my way and how I want to do it and when I want to do it. And that's the kind of attitude that he have. And so he became a very undesirable person very early on because he was also doing some other things. Before this, he slew his brothers, all kinds of stuff that he done. But we see there in verse 6, the Bible says he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, just like the house of Ahab. And so he had an idol, in essence, that he looked up to. He wanted to be like Ahab. He wanted to be like those kings. And we see that there in the latter part of verse 6, though, the Bible says that he wrought that which was evil. But notice what the Bible says. The Bible didn't stop there. The Bible didn't just stop with saying that he wrought that which was evil. The Bible went on to say that he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And he said, why is that important? Because that lets us know that God saw what he was doing. Amen. God saw what he was doing. He wasn't just practicing evil. He wasn't just living evil and doing evil things. He was doing it before the eyes of God. God could see everything that he was doing. You know what that means? That right there shows that he was accountable to the way he lived. He was accountable for what he was doing. And what that shows us today is this, that we can walk in any way we want to walk. We can live however we want to live. God's not going to force us. He's not going to make us go in a certain direction. You have your own free will to live and do as you choose. But understand this, there is every one of us here tonight have an accountability, someone that we're going to give an account to. And the Bible says that he done these things in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, when God looked down from heaven, he could see Jehoram. And when he looked down from heaven, he could see Jehoram. He could see the things that he was doing. He knew his heart. He knew what was in his heart. He knew more about Jehoram than Jehoram knew about himself. And so God looked down from heaven. He saw what he was doing and all these things he was doing in the eyes of God. And so that shows us that he was accountable for his deeds. And the Bible tells us in the great white throne judgment that he's going to open up the books. And whenever he begins to open up the books, he's going to judge these folks according to their works. He's going to judge these folks according to their deeds, and they'll have to give an account of all these things that they've done. And so the Bible says it didn't just end with saying that he done that which was evil. The Bible wanted us to know, God wanted us to know that what he did, it wasn't a secret. He did it in the eyes of, he did it in my eyes. I saw it. You know, there's nothing that we can do in secret. Everything that we do is in the eyes of God. We may be able to keep it a secret from each other, our husband, spouse, and you know, whatever, but we can't do anything in secret because God sees everything and because God knows everything and God understands everything. And I believe God put that in there. He didn't stop with just evil. I believe God put that in there that he'd draw evil in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Lord, because he wanted us to know that, that despite what he's done, nobody can do anything in secret. Everything we do is beheld by our Father in heaven. And so we see that he was an evil, wicked man. And as we move on to verse 7, we're going to see, of course, how the fourth truth was and how he split the kingdom. He was undesirable because he was a man that was just, the way he was living and the things that he was doing, he was just splitting the kingdom. And the Bible says that the Edomites, there in verse 8, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. See, they didn't want no part of this. They didn't want to be a part of this situation. You know, they saw how Jehoram was doing. They saw the wicked lifestyle that he had and how he wanted to just drag the country down in this particular way away from God. And they were like, hey, we don't want to go in that direction. You know, we love the Lord. We want to serve God. We don't want to do that. And so they were like, hey, we don't want to be a part of that. So they revolted against him. But then he turned around and slayed them there in verse 9. And the Bible says that Jehoram went forth with his princes, all his chariots with him. He rose up at night and he smote the Edomites which compassed him and the captains of the chariots. So, of course, he got angry about it. He was probably like, well, how dare these folks? They not follow me and they not bow down to me and they not do what I'm asking them to do. But they did not want nothing to do with how he was living and the direction that he was going. And so they were going to take matter in their own hands. And so he, in essence, slayed them. And the Bible says there in verse 10, so the Edomites revolted, but it wasn't just them. The Bible says the same, at the same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand. We say, what's the purpose? Because he'd forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Because he didn't want nothing to do with God. And so they began to leave by the droves and they began to revolt because they didn't like the direction that Jehoram was taking his people. And listen, we got to be very careful because, and as we talked about this morning, he said he wanted to be like the kings of Israel. And we talked this morning about how just because these were kings and they had power and prestige and prominence and just because they had these men had these things in their life doesn't mean that they were going in the right direction. Listen, just because a man has power, just because he has a position, just because he has prominence, does it mean that he's necessarily doing the best thing? Amen. Yeah, and so he wanted to be like them, and so we need to be careful who we set our eyes on as idols. You know, who we really want to walk after. He had his eyes on walking after the kings of Israel, and there's a difference. We can either walk after the kings of this world, or we can walk after the king of the world. Amen. The king of kings, but he had his eye on the small kings, and so the Bible says there in verse 10 that they forsook him. They revolted against him because he forsook the Lord God of his fathers. And so he was splitting the kingdom. Now, let's get into our next truth tonight. Let's take a look at verse 11. And the Bible says, so the fifth thing we see here is another reason why he was undesirable was because of sacrifices that he made. His sacrifices were misplaced. His sacrifices were misplaced. The Bible says there in verse 11 that he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. And so his sacrifices were misplaced. He built altars of worship there to sacrifice these false gods. And he was doing everything he could to drag people down in this direction that he wanted them to go. And so he was sacrificing to these false gods. He was seducing these folks. And he was doing a terrible things. He was sinking the family, sinking his family. He was sinking his kingdom, shrouding it in darkness. And I believe he was doing everything he could to get anything that had anything to do with God, he wanted it out of the way. And so he began to make up all these high places and all these mountains. And I tell you what, the devil will do everything he can to remove any trace of God in your life whatsoever. The devil has no desire for you to have anything in your life that has anything to do with God. And he'll do everything he can, just like this guy did, to completely eradicate that so that the people don't see it anymore. And listen, when you don't see it anymore, it's one of those things. You ever heard of out of sight, out of mind? Out of sight, out of mind. And that's what happens. When you become out of sight, you become out of mind. And this thing, and that's what's happening right here. You get God out of your sight, and then God will be out of your mind. When you stay away from church long enough, you stay away from praying long enough, you stay away from the Bible long enough, and you know what happens? It'll be out of sight, out of mind. Then you just go about your life, and you don't even think about it anymore. You know, it doesn't really burn you. You don't really think about it anymore. And the devil do all he can to get that out of the way. And the Bible says that he made these high places in the mountains. He wanted to completely convert their worship. He wanted to completely pull these people away from the life that they had in serving the Lord, and they go in a completely different direction. The devil's doing that every day, doing everything he can to pull people away from God and to pull them in a direction that's going to do nothing but lead them straight to hell. But then, I love verse 12, because verse 12 is an exciting verse. I like the very first part of it, because in the midst of all of this, the Bible says, and there came a writing to him from Elijah. Now, I don't know about you, but just thinking about what this guy's been doing, getting a letter from Elijah would be something like, you know, that would be like, oh my goodness, what in the world have I done? But the Bible says in the midst of all of this, that there came a writing to him from Elijah. How many of you like to get letters? Get letters in the mail? Yeah, you like to get letters in the mail. How many remember when you were kids? When you were kids, you know, you just love it when somebody sent you something in the mail, you know, whether it was a card or whether it was a letter. I mean, you just loved it. I remember running out to the mailbox, and you get to the mailbox, you know, you're going to get the mail, and you see something that's got your name on it. Man, that's exciting, because everything that comes in the mail has always got your mom and dad's name on it, you know. But when you get something in the mail, the mailman brought me something, you know, and that's exciting. But I don't think he was very excited when he got this letter from Elijah. He probably didn't have that same attitude. And so he received a letter, and this letter came from Elijah. And the Bible says there came a letter to him from Elijah the prophet. And notice what this letter said. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and has also slain thy brethren of thy father's house, watch this, which were better than thyself. He said, you killed all these people and they were better than you were. That goes all the way back to what we see there in verse 3 on how he even got where he was at. You know, I don't think his dad didn't give it to him because he thought he was better. His dad didn't give it to him. Jehoshaphat did not give Jehoram the kingdom because he thought he had more experience, because he thought he was a better person for it. He was just following with tradition. And listen, tradition is not a bad thing, but some of it can be a hindrance. Amen. Tradition is not a bad thing, but some of it's just a hindrance, you know. And so he just passed. This is just what we do, you know. It's just what we do. It's what we've always done. You ever heard that? This is what we always done. It's what we do. It's just what we've always done. And so that's what he did. He passed it down, but it wasn't because he deserved it or anything like that. The Bible even said, "Hey, all those brothers that you killed, they were better people. They were better men than you were. They were better than you." And so then God begins to bring the condemnation. He says, let me tell you something. He says, I saw what you've done from heaven. You've done this in my sight. I saw what you've done from heaven. And now because you have misled the people, your sacrifices have been misplaced, you have seduced them, and all of this, what I'm going to do to you, and he tells us there, shows us there in verse 14. Notice what he says. The Bible says, behold, with a great plague, will the Lord smite the people, thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods. Now, why was this happening to him and the people? Because Jehoram led them all astray. Jehoram led them all astray, and he led them all astray on purpose. And because of that, God was going to judge him. And because of that, God was going to judge those people. And so when this letter came from Elijah and said, hey, God said, this is what he's going to do now because y'all have done this. And so now the people, I imagine, they're probably thinking, oh my goodness, what in the world have we done now, God? Now God's mad, God's angry, he's going to bring judgment on us because of what Jehoram has led us into. And so that's another reason why he became a very undesirable person, because of what he was bringing to their country there. And the Bible says that God said he was going to smite the people and the children and thy wives and all thy goods. He was going to cause the smiting hand of God to be upon them, and he was going to smite them physically. He was going to smite them materially, and they was going to have a great sickness. And notice what the Bible says there in verse 15. He says, "And thou shalt have," and then he speaks to him specifically. He says, "And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day." You know what God's saying? God's saying, "I saw what you've done from heaven." He said, "I was sitting on my throne and I saw you slay all your brothers, and I saw you go down there and you killed all them innocent people." He said, "I saw it from heaven." And he sent a letter by Elijah, "Just so you know that I saw it. I want you to know that nothing escapes my eye. And I saw this from heaven, and I saw what you did. I saw what you did. And because of what you did, you're going to pay for it. But not only are you going to pay for it, your kingdom's going to pay for it, because they followed you in it. So this is what their judgment's going to be. But what I'm going to do to you is I'm going to smite your bowels. I'm going to reach inside of your body. I'm going to reach inside your body, and I'm going to give you a disease. I'm going to give you a disease that is incurable, that nobody can do anything about. And day by day, every day, it's going to get worse and worse and worse until your insides just fall out." Wow. Now that's something. The Bible says, "And your bowels will fall out by reason of this sickness day by day." Day by day, it would get worse. Every day, he would be sicker and sicker. And every day, his pain would be worse and worse. And so we see that one of the reasons why he became so undesirable was because he caused the seventh truth there, because he caused the smiting hand of God to be on his people. And listen, when God was against the people could, they didn't like that. They didn't like the way that, they no longer liked the way that they were going, because they saw the heavy hand of judgment upon them. And so he became a very undesirable person. And then we get there into verse 16 and 17, and then we see the eighth truth. This is where he caused God's scheme against them. God's scheme against them. Notice what happened there in verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, "Moreover, the Lord stirred up." Watch, you see that now? The Bible says, "The Lord stirred up." Now watch, not everything that gets stirred up is because of the devil. Amen. Sometimes we think things get stirred up. We just say, "Oh, the devil done that." Now, it may be most of the time, but sometimes God stirs things up. And sometimes God stirs things up because there's a reason for it to be stirred up. And the Bible says that God stirred this up. And the Bible says, "Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up to Judah, they break into it, and they carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house." You know why I think God showed us that? Because when you get down, when you look at verse 3, where was that this morning? What did his dad give them all? The Bible says he gave all the sons great gifts of silver, gold, precious things, fenced cities. I mean, he gave them all kinds of stuff. And so when God stirred up these people, these countries to come against them, the Bible says they broke them down, and they carried away all of the substance that they had, all the possessions that they had. Because Jehoram was a man that was about himself. Jehoram was a man that was willing to kill anybody, slay anybody, hurt anybody. It didn't matter who it was, as long as he could get up there to the top and live and do how he wanted to do. That was all he cared about. But God said, "I saw what you did from heaven, and I'm going to take care of this. And all this that you tried to work for, to have, I'm going to take it all away from you. I'm going to take it all away. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." The Bible shows us there in verse 17 that they carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left save Jehoaz, the youngest of his sons. And so he became an undesirable person because he brought, because God schemed a plan against him, God brought a plan against him to remove all those things that he had stolen from his brothers. And God had removed all the power and the prominence and the position that he had. God took it all away. God took it all away. We get down to verse 18. And the Bible shows us here. Here we see how the ninth truth is how God shortened his life. The Bible says, and after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in the process of time, you notice that word, that phrase there, process of time. This wasn't something that just happened overnight. God was going to bring him something. God gave him something that was going to cause him pain every day over the process of time. Every day it was going to get worse and worse and worse. Every day he was going to be in pain. He said, why in the world? Well, what is that all about? Well, Jehoram was causing a lot of pain. He was causing a lot of pain to a lot of people. And because he was causing a lot of pain to a lot of people, God says, you know what? I'm going to give you pain. And God brought him some pain. And the Bible shows that he had an incurable disease. And it came to pass in the process of time that after the end of 2 years, 2 years he had this. The Bible says his bowels fell out by the reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases. That phrase of sore diseases means, and in the margin of your Bible, some of you have, if you got a study Bible, have in the margin of the Bible, and it'll give you what the Hebrew words were for those things. And it's, and the sore of disease means to have great pain, great pain. And so he died. He had this for 2 years, and he died, and he had a lot of pain. Died in a lot of pain. And his people, notice this, when he died, watch this, and his people made no burning for him. You say, what does that mean? Well, when you look in the Old Testament, when you had the great kings, honorable kings, whenever they died, they would lavish them in spices and ointments and things like that, and they would make sacrifices and they'd burn incense and all these kinds of things. Well, whenever he died, they said, we ain't doing nothing. We're not doing anything like that. And you know why we're not doing anything like that? We're not doing anything like that because he's not worthy of it. He's not worthy of it. He's not worthy of having this honor. He's not worthy of being placed, even being placed and buried in the same place as these other men are. And they showed us there. The Bible shows us there in verse 20. And the Bible says, well, the latter part of verse 19, and his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. He died and nobody cared. He died and it didn't bother anybody. It was like he died and everybody was like, I'm so glad that he's not here anymore. He died, and everybody was probably looking at each other thinking, oh my goodness, we thought this day would never come. The Bible says he departed without being desired. You say, how bad of a life did he have to live to leave out of this world and nobody even care that he died? Well, I think the Bible lists us a whole lot of things that we can see in verses 1 to 20. On how he lived his life that made him so undesirable to this people. And we can learn some things from this because you say, we look at how he lived and we say, you know what? If I don't want to go out undesirable, if I don't want to live an undesirable life in people's sight, then I need to make sure that I don't do what he did. I need to make sure that I don't follow this example that's right here. Because you see, this right here is how the devil would love for you to live. And the devil would love for you to leave this world and nobody even care that you were ever even here. Now, Jehoram was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And he had the ability to be able to lead God's people in the direction that they needed to go. He had position. He had power. He had all these things. His father was Jehoshaphat. I mean, this guy, I mean, it was pretty much just laid in his lap. Laid right there in his lap. But he lived all that time with his dad and for the kingdom. And when his dad passed away, he took off the mask of who he really was and didn't want anything to do with it anymore. And he began to take the country down a different path. And he began to reveal to everybody who he really was. And the Bible shows us here in verse 20 that he departed without being desired. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchers of the kings. The devil wants to do everything he can to ruin your life. He wants to do everything. He sees you right here, okay? The devil sees that you have the ability, you have potential. And he sees that you have potential. He sees where you come from. He understands that, listen, you have the ability. God's blessed you with the ability to be able to do some great things for him. And he's sitting there watching and he's looking. He says, we'll do everything we can to get them steered off in the wrong direction. Get them going somewhere different. Get them to chase after this. Get them to chase after that. And then he'll get us going down the road so far along, until one of these days we get something in the mail and God speaks to our hearts, or maybe God sends somebody like Nathan the prophet our way and lets us know, hey, God saw that. Yeah. The Bible shows us right here that he departed without being desired. May we as God's people decide to choose to live a life that is nothing like Jehoram. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank